Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Chof Vav, and we're holding on the last two lines of Chof Hei Omud Beit. Tana Rabbanan, Chatan Vashushbinin V'chol B'nei Chupa Peturin Min HaTefila U'min HaTefilin V'chayavin B'kriyat Shema. Now Rashi understands that the Shitot that we had yesterday, where we were talking about the Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, and this was Rabbi Yossi Aglili's entire approach to life, that here we're talking according to those who don't hold that there's this Patur of Oseg B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. But there's another issue, that where we're talking about Tefillah or Tefillin, and in some cases Kriyat Shema, these are things that require concentration. So tefillah requires concentration, and tefillin, you need to be in a matzav of seriousness where you're able to take care of your thoughts, and they shouldn't be thoughts of kalos rosh and so on. So this is a particular situation, because here the nature of the kavana makes it impossible to do the mitzvah, because at a chasana they're giving out a lot of whiskey, and everybody's high, and people are dancing, and they're doing weird things. And because of that, during this entire period, they're not going to be able to concentrate properly on their tefillah and on their tefillin. However, when it comes to Kriyat Shema, where the main chiyuv of kavana is for the first pasuk, they can manage to be mechaven their das for the first pasuk. And the reason that they are potter, therefore, is unique to these mitzvahs that require the kavana. Mishum Rabbi Shila Amru. Rabbi Shila says the chosen is actually potter from Kriyat Shema, even though it's really only the one pasuk. But also, according to Rashi, the approach over here is that Rabbi Shila doesn't hold that it's because of Isk B'mitzvah, potter min HaMitzvah, but it's because he's too torud to be able to think. So in other words, there is a unique halacha by these inyanim that require more kavana. So according to him, the Shushbinin v'chol b'nei achupa are chayev in Kriyat Shema, but not the chosin. Tanya Omer b'chananya ben Akavya, kotvei sifarim tefillin u'mizuzot, hen v'tagareihen v'tagarei tagareihen v'chol ha'uskim v'lemechet shamayim, latuye mochre tchelet, b'turin mikriyat Shema, min ha'tfila, min ha'tfilin, u'mikol mitzvot ha'amurot b'torah. L'kayem divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Yishaya Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, ha'osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah. So we've had the entire sugya, it turns out, in which we learn out the general dinim of osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah, both from the inyan of Pesach Sheni, and from the inyan of v'lechtecha v'derech, b'shivtecha b'veitecha v'lechtecha v'derech. This is a general rule, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in which case it would extend even to people that are being oisek. Obviously, as the Mefarshim point out, that if somebody's got a sfarim store, you know, and all he's interested in is making money, he couldn't care less whether he's getting tefillin to people. That's not his purpose. It just happens to be the things that he sells instead of meat or tefillin, you know. That's not what it's referring to over here. What it's referring to over here are people whose entire life is dedicated to seeing to it that Bnei Yisrael should have proper mezuzahs and tefillin and tzitzis and have everything that they need to be mekayim mitzvahs. And I don't know whether you people were zeicher to know anybody like that, but in the old city we had, and we have, Baruch Hashem, we have our Ezra, in which, you know, you got to force him to take the money to cover his expenses. But he'll sit there for hours explaining to your bar mitzvah kid what it is he's supposed to be doing with his tefillin. And his entire mitzvah is only to be mamtzi, these mitzvahs to people, I mean, in an incredible way. So over there, the person is being oisik b'mitzvah all the time. So he doesn't have time to daven. If he's going to daven, there's going to be fewer tefillin in the world. He doesn't have time to say Kriyat Shema. And so on. This would follow from Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Isaac b'mitzvah is potter min ha'mitzvah, becomes potter from everything. And in fact, the moment that he would take off to do something, he could end up endangering the mitzvah. I personally had a period like this where I made the mistake of working my way to Eretz Yisrael. This was way back in the... what year was this? In the 60s, yeah, I can't remember what year. But anyway, so I was working my way over, So I accepted a job as a mashgiach on this boat. There used to be ships you could come to Eretz Yisrael, because I couldn't afford the shipping. So part of the deal was that you got an extra stateroom for your baggage, and so I was able to bring whatever I wanted. So it was worth it. I thought it was worth it anyway. As it turned out, I couldn't daven or do anything the entire trip, because like the moment that I would turn away, something would happen. There would be tarfus and the guy. There's incredible stories. Enough time to tell you now, obviously, in the middle of the daf. But it's literally true that if you're being Isaac in a mitzvah, you start worrying about the other mitzvahs, and you can end up creating a disaster. Anyway, so all of this follows Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Isaac Bibbitz, support him in a mitzvah. And by the way, mitzad the halacha, the Ramah Paskins, this is like a very, very nogeah for many issues. Mitzad the halacha, the Ramah Paskins, that bizman hazeh, anyway, people are not mechaven in their davening. So why should people that are being osek in a wedding or something like that, why should they be different than anybody else? I mean, so because they can't have kavana, therefore they shouldn't daven. They never have kavana. So therefore, bizman hazeh, the general approach is that bizman hazeh, actually, we don't give them off from doing any of the mitzvah. And a lot of the posuk in the Magen Avraham is like very doubtful about that kind of thing. The mitzvah, obviously, it should depend on the specific things that are going on. Now, listen, we are about to begin an important sugya in which we suddenly begin to understand why it is that here in Sukkah is the place where all of a sudden we're going to be making such a fuss about osek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah, even though, of course, this would be nogea any mesechet and any sugya of any mitzvah. So let me explain what the point is. Even when he's, look at this, even when he's on tiyul, he's still making me crazy. Azeka drinks. Okay. Shkayach. Beautiful. Wonderful. So, and that is this. There is a fascinating counterpoint that's going on in Masechet Sukkah, which is very subtle. And the counterpoint is this. The idea of being potter when you're being Isaac b'mitzvah is, as we saw in the Inyan of Kriyat Shema, the Torah is mechayev you to do things when you're leading your own life. That's when you have to stop. B'shivtecha b'veisecha, b'lachtecha b'derech, b'derech ditcha. That's when you have to stop and you have to take off the time to do the mitzvahs. But if you're being Isaac in a life that's not your life, meaning that you're being holech but derech in order to be mekayim mitzvahs, and you're not being yoshev b'veitecha, so then you're mechuyev to stop what you're doing. If you're being Isaac mitzvah, then you're not mechuyev to stop what you're doing. Now, fascinatingly, this is the exact opposite of what the case is when it comes to Sukkah. Let me explain. The Torah tells us to be mekayim this mitzvah of Sukkah only within the context of the way in which we usually live. Therefore, by Sukkah, many of the dinim of Sukkah come from the exact opposite point of view of ha'esek b'mitzvah poter min ha-mitzvah. Because when it comes to Sukkah, the only time that you're chayev to be in a sukkah is if in similar circumstances you would be in your home. But if you're not doing what you would normally do in your home, then you're not chayev in the sukkah, you see? And because of that, it's the exact opposite. It's literally a juxtaposition to the idea of b'shivtecha b'veisecha. So when it comes to mitzvahs, take off to do mitzvahs, we learn the time to take off the mitzvah is dafka, when this is the thing that you would do in your home. That's when you have to take off. When it comes to sukkahs, the only time that you're chayev in the sukkah is where this is the thing that you would do in your home. So for instance, when it would come to putting on tefillin, would we say that if you want to go for a vacation and join our alon up there in rock climbing, that you're, because of the fact that you want to go rock climbing, you should be putter from tefillin and from tefillah and so on? We wouldn't say that, right? But when it comes to a sukkah, that's exactly what we would say. Why? Because we would say, since the Torah is only mechayev you in a sukkah, when what it is that you'd be doing would be living in your home, and since when I want to go rock climbing, I don't bring my home along on my back, therefore, if I want to go rock climbing, I am not chayev in a sukkah. Therefore, you see that sukkah becomes the exact opposite of the normal case, where it's dafka the other way around. The more involved in you, the way you would normally be, then the more you'd have to stop what you would normally be to do the mitzvah. Whereas by sukkah, the more you would not be doing this normally, the more you don't do it in the sukkah. Quite amazing. And it's because of that that we're going to have all of the sugyas that are coming up, which is the question of the issue of convenience. How in the world did convenience suddenly get to be important in being mekayim a mitzvah? How all of a sudden did it become important that if I'm going to maybe take a chance on losing money, so therefore I don't have to do a mitzvah saseh? Where does all of this come from? How does it come that because I'm feeling uncomfortable with the mosquitoes, so therefore I don't do the mitzvah? How does it come because I want to go for a trip, so therefore I don't have to sit in the sukkah? All of these things are literally a mirror image of the idea of Eisik B'mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah. You see how beautiful it is that the Gemara arranges it. So first we go through all of the inyanim of Eisik B'mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah. Now we go to the opposite extreme. And here is where we begin the opposite extreme sukkah. Tana Rabbana. Hochei drachim bayom. Peturim min ha-sukkah bayom. If somebody is on the road during the day, so then he's potter from being in the sukkah during the day. And there would be no problem of finding a sukkah. If he's, but they're chayav in belayla, because the same way you would go back to your home to go to sleep, you would be chayav. So there's no ptur belayla. If your trip is during the night, so then you're pturim in a sukkah belayla, but you're chayav in bayom. But if you're on a trip, ochim bayom, bein bayom, bein belayla, pturim in a sukkah, bein bayom, Ubein Balayla. So there, it would depend on what your normal behavior would be. However, if the idea is that you're involved in the Dvar Mitzvah, then you're completely potter, because the involvement in the mitzvah means that there's no chiyav, if you hold like Rabbi Yosi Aglili, in the mitzvah. Now remember that we learned that this was really a machlokas, that Tosfos learns over here, this is only where there is a clear-cut deficit in the mitzvah if you would do this sitting in the sukkah. If there's no clear-cut deficit, why not do both? But remember that the shita of the Arzarua and other Rishonim is that that's not true, and that you simply are potter from the sukkah. And there is no inyan for you to try to get to the sukkah. So this would depend now on how we would learn this piece of the Gemara over here, depending on those various shitas. Ki hadar of chista v'rabba baravuna kavi aili b'shabata deriglo l'vayresh kaluta. So they used to go on to the big drasha. There used to be a big drasha at the Resh Galuta would give on the Shabbos of Chol HaMoed. And everybody would come to the drasha. So that way you'd be mekayim two mitzvahs. First of all, you'd be mekabel. Pnei Rabbi Resh Galuta was the one with the equivalent of the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. So you'd be mekabel Pnei Rabbi. And he would be going to be loymei Torah. So as they reported themselves, Rav Chista, Rabba, Barav Huna, when we used to go for that purpose, we would sleep on the beach. And Avogana Arakta the Surah. We would sleep on the beach of the Surah River. We didn't bother sleeping in a sukkah. And we said that, look, Anan Shluchei Mitzvah, Anan Upturim. We are Shluchei Mitzvah, and we do not have to find the sukkah. So again, the question over here is this because, as many of the Rishonim learned, that if they slept out on the beach, then they were more likely to get there early and to be there on time and so on and so forth than if they would have found the sukkah. But if they would have had access to a sukkah that would have been exactly the same, then they would not have slept out on the beach. Okay, so this is that machlokas. Tana Rabbanan, Shomrei Ha'ir B'yom, Peturim Min HaSukkah B'yom V'Chayav Min B'Laila. If your job is to be one of the public watchmen, and your job is during the day, so then during the day you wouldn't be in your home, and therefore you don't sit in your sukkah. Not because you're being Isaac in a mitzvah, but because this is Teshvu Ke'en Teduru, as it's called. The Basukot Teshvu Shivat Yamim is contextually very clear. Live in your sukkah the way you would live in your home. So now if you have a job that requires you to be out of your home, then it requires you to be out of your sukkah. Very simple. And the same way you'd go back home at night, so now go back to your sukkah at night. If your job is to be a shomer at night, so then stay out of your sukkah at night. You wouldn't stay in your home at night. V'chayavim bayom, but you'd go back home to take a rest in the day. Go back to your sukkah to take the rest in the day. Shomrei ha'ir bein bayom u'bein balayla. If your duty period is during the day and the night, let's say you're a doctor who's got a 36-hour shift just to make sure that you kill half of your patients, so then you would be paturim ben ha'sukkah, bein bayom u'bein balayla. So then, since that would be the normal way that you live, then that's the normal way that you live. Let's say you are shomer ganotu pardesi. You live, you work as a watchman out in the fields to make sure that the Arabs don't get out there and steal everything that you've grown, right? So then you're potter, whether it's during the day or whether it's during the night. Now, this is fascinating, okay? Why are you potter at night? I mean, can't you make a sukkah out there in the field? You know, and be yotzi your mitzvah sukkah. What exactly is the problem? Now, here's a fascinating point. V'levet sukkah hasav v'litfi. Why not make your sukkah out there in the field? Look, Reb Barnea is sitting over there digging in Azeka. Amazing. So you should have a sukkah during sukkahs to dig in Azeka. So why does it say over here he's potter? Says Abaya, because teshvu ke'en taduru. Teshvu ke'en taduru is that the whole mitzvah, basukot teshvu shivat yamim, is understood contextually as being in the sukkah the way you would be in your diras kfar. Now, Rashi says that this is because of the fact that it's, why not bring out the sukkah? What's the difference? What's teshvu ke'en taduru? So Rashi says a strange thing. He says, "Kederek shudar kol hashana bebeito, his kikato Torah laaniach dirato v'ladur kan besukah im mitotav kletash bishol metzaotav." Rashi says that the point of a sukkah is to live the way you would live in your home. So if I live out here in the field, I'm not going to be living the way I live in my home. Why? Again, this is the surface understanding of the Rashi, which does not seem to make any sense. Why? Because my sukkah is supposed to have my beautiful things in it. When I have a meal, I'm supposed to have my gold, my silver serving dish and my glasses and everything else. So what, I'm going to make a sukkah using paper cups? That's not a sukkah. Okay, so bring your glasses. You know, why not bring your beautiful thing out here? Well, says Rashi, and on the other hand, I can't bring out my bed, I can't bring out my couch out here to this field, do I? I mean, it's too much trouble. It's too much trouble. You know, it's too much trouble for me to make a sukkah at all. I'd rather stay in my living room. So, okay, so don't make a sukkah because it's too much trouble. What in the world is Rashi talking about? So the way the Rashash puts it so beautifully is that the point of Teshvu Ke'en Taduru is you're meant to live in your sukkah the way you live in your home. You are not meant to live in your sukkah the way you would live not in a home. That's the point. The Torah didn't say make a sukkah the way you would live when you're out on a camping trip. It said make a sukkah the way you would live when you are at home. So again, there is no such mitzvah as see to it that you live in this booth with branches on top for 7 days. There's no such mitzvah. The mitzvah is specifically to flip your home for a sukkah. So therefore, the point that the Rashi is making over here, would you bring your bathtub out to the place where you're outdoors over there? Would you bring your couch? Winston Churchill would, but would anybody else? No. So therefore, it's not the way that you would normally live. So you say, okay, so live the way you would live out in the camping trip. The Torah never said for me to live the way I live at a camping trip. The Torah is said to live the way I live in my home. And therefore, that's what Rashi is saying. Ultimately, all of the approaches in the Gemara, even though they pretend to be saying different things, they all boil down to the Teshuva Ke'en Taduru, that this is not the way that you would normally do it. Now, Rava says, well, look, Ad Kedei Kach, I mean, to say that you wouldn't be Chayev because it's not exactly the way you would live in your house, that I wouldn't say. But I would say that the problem over here is that if you're going to make yourself a sukkah out there, so then what people say is the comment saying, Pirtzak or Aleganav. It's like you leave your door open, you're asking for the Ganavim to come and steal things. So that's the point. I would not make myself any kind of way to sleep that would be able to pinpoint my location out in the field if the purpose of my being in the field is to prevent people from coming and stealing. So obviously, pinpointing my location, okay, here the Ganav is waiting. There he goes into his little tent. Okay, boys, bring out the trucks. Let's move everything out of here quickly. This is what they actually do, the Arabs. It's just horrifying. So because of that, I feel that it's not, so it's, okay, so you'll risk a loss to be Mekayim a mitzvah. No, therefore it's not a mitzvah. That's the point, because it's not a Teshuva Ke'en Taduru. The only machlokas between Rabbi and Rav over here is the question of to what extent we would say that Teshuva Ke'en Taduru is defined. But certainly the underlying svara of Teshuva Ke'en Taduru, there is no other basis for all of these crazy peturim that we're coming up with. Don't bother making a sukkah because you feel like going on a camping trip. Now, the question is, I keep talking about that camping trip. The question is whether that's really true. Is it because of a camping trip? Well, if you take a look at Rashi, you will notice that Rashi says on the third small line, Eino nimna milechet b'derech bischora. In the same way that you wouldn't in any way avoid leaving your home to go for a business trip during the year, so then kach koyem otachak, she'eino yontav, lo yitzircha katuv limnoa. The Torah didn't ask you to live differently than you would live all year round. All year round, you'd be willing to go for a business trip. Here too, you'd be willing to go for a business trip. Does Rashi mean specifically a business trip? Does it have to be an actual tzorech? Or do we say, put off your other things to a different time? Rav Moshe paskened that it's not correct to plan a camping trip for Sukkot. That would be like saying, okay, you know what? Just like during the year, there's times when I feel that it's like uncomfortable in the house and I'll go upstairs and sleep on the roof under the stars, or I just feel like getting away from it all. So therefore, tonight I won't sleep in my sukkah because I feel like sleeping out in the stars. Isn't it clear that that's not what to do tonight during sukkah? So this is no different. And the truth is that Reb Shlomo Zalman felt the same way. And both of them are masmichet on the Rashi of this word, b'schora. However, Reb Yashiv, he took the sugya kipshutai, which is certainly very, very reasonable, and that the meaning of Rashi is using Bishchora is simply an example. I mean, that's the norm, is that people have to leave Bishchora. But if somebody wants to go on a camping trip, there would be no difference between that and Bishchora. This is when your vacation is. You have time to be with your kids. You want to go out. You won't have an opportunity to have a sukkah. So what? That's what you would do all year. You wouldn't have an opportunity to get into your sauna for your camping trip either. So what's the difference? So in the same way you would leave your home, you leave your sukkah, and there's no chiyuv at all to be machmir to try to go out and to find yourself a sukkah. Okay, so this is where we're up to now, the two dots. This brings us to the next sugya, which is also a function, according to almost everyone, of Teshuva Ke'en Taduru, although there are some who question whether somebody is in a matzav of being ill, and whether he would be maybe potter from mitzvah taseh because it's so difficult for him, he's not feeling well. But that is a big, big machlokas, most don't hold that way, and they understand that the din of cholon misham sheyam is a din as well that is applicable specifically to sukkah because of this. Tana Rabbanan, When it says that someone who is ill, together with the people who are taking care of him, are potter from the sukkah, we are not talking about a cholash amru lo cholash yesh bo sakana. We're not talking about someone who's in a matzav of danger. I mean, they're already, we don't think about any mitzvah and taking care of him in the best possible way. We're talking about somebody who's just not feeling well. Afilo cholash in bo sakana. For that matter, the guy's got a headache. The guy's got a pain in his eyes. He's not mechuyev to in the same way that such a person is not concerned at that point for going around. He's not going to visit friends. He's not going to do anything. All he wants to do is get into bed and rest a little bit. So then that's the point, that this is not something that he would do to change his normal behavior. He wants to be as comfortable as possible. And he's not mechuyev in any way to go out to the sukkah just because he has a headache. One time I had like that, I wasn't feeling comfortable, my eyes hurt me. So Rabbi Yossi, who was the Gadol Hador, he told me I don't have to stay in the sukkah. Not me, this is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, who was considered to be the Gadol Hador. And he said, you don't have to come to the sukkah, and the people that would normally be with you, be taking care of you, you're Mishamshim, and I'm going to go to the sukkah. So that's the point. Rav was matir for Rav Acha Bardala to sleep in a kila. Now we're talking about over here a kila. Remember, a kila is where the bed has got a mosquito netting over it. We said before that if it's 10 tefachim, it has a top of a tefach, then it's considered to be inside of another oil, and you're not going to be yotzi the sukkah. And Rav was matir him to be under the mosquito netting because the mosquitoes were driving him crazy, so he was not in the sukkah. And that was fine. Mishum baki. Rava sharelel rabacha barada lemigne bar mitalalta mishum sircha der gargishta. And Rava told rabacha barada, and this has another very important implication, which I'll speak about in a moment, to sleep outside of the sukkah because what they had over there was they had covered the floor in like a chalk to prevent it from getting muddy. And he couldn't stand the smell of the chalk. So because of that, he couldn't sleep in the sukkah. So fine. So he told him, okay, so sleep outside of the sukkah. You don't have to sleep in the sukkah. Now, the additional point over here is, this is Rav Lataimi, the Amar Rav mitzta'er patur min ha-sukkah. If you are uncomfortable because of the sukkah, then you do not have to stay in the sukkah. If you had a home that makes you uncomfortable, it would not be your home. You'd move to another home. Therefore, by definition, this is this is a violation of Teshvukei in Taduru. So why are you in the sukkah? You're mitztayer. Because of that, if you're surrounded by bugs, it's too hot, whatever the situation is, if you would leave your home under similar circumstances and not have that as your home, then it's not your sukkah either. Now, the reason that this is a particularly important story is because it's mashma that he couldn't sleep in the sukkah because of the smell of the gargishta, but that he would eat in the sukkah when he was standing up, not lying down. And it was only a problem of being matir him to sleep outside of the sukkah, right? Now, the question is, there are many shitas that paskin, that a sukkah that is not suitable for all of the primary usages of a sukkah is not considered to be a kosher sukkah for any usage. And therefore, if the sukkah is not comfortable for sleeping, then it should not be a kosher sukkah for eating either. So that creates a problem. So how is he matir him to eat in the sukkah, just not sleep in the sukkah? So many are medayik from this gemara. You see from here that halacha, that a sukkah has to be ro'i for all of the tashmishi sukkah, means in general, not in a particular case. In other words, because you happen to have a problem with the smell of the chalk and you can't sleep in the sukkah because you're uncomfortable, that doesn't mean that the sukkah is a pasul sukkah for you to eat in. It's only if no one could sleep in this sukkah, then it's a sukkah that isn't roi for eating. But this seems to point to exactly this issue. He couldn't take it. It said he didn't like it. Rav Acha Bar Adar, he didn't like the smell. Fine. So because of that, if you're mitztayer, so get out. but it's still a perfectly kosher sukkah. Ask the Gemara, but how do you square that with the din of a choleh? I mean, if you're going to tell me that anybody who's uncomfortable in the sukkah doesn't have to be in a sukkah, then what's unique about the choleh? So then the choleh is like anybody else. I'm just not comfortable being, I just want to be in my bed. So why isn't that the same as any mitzta'er? Hanantan cholino misham shem peturim in a sukkah, which is mashma the dafka the choleh, but the mitzta'er not. Amri, the difference is, there in terms of the choleh per se, there is no difference. The only difference is in the din of the mishamshim. If the person is ill, then the people who care for him feel that they need to be by him in order to respond to his needs. Maybe he'll need an aspirin in the middle of the night or whatever. But if he just is not in the sukkah because the sukkah makes him uncomfortable, so then why should I have to hang out in the house and not be in the sukkah because he's uncomfortable in the sukkah? What does that have to do with me? He doesn't require my shimush. That's the difference. So the mitzta'er, he himself is potter, but his mishamshim should stay in the sukkah, vashenke in the choleh. Now, the next question that we had was that the Mishnah had said you can eat achilas arai, but it didn't explain what exactly achilas arai is. So you can eat what's considered to be a snack. Okay, what is a snack? Kama achilat arai. So what exactly defines a snack? So, I mean, there's a question over here why we only talk about the shear of achila and we don't talk about the shear of shtiya. This turns out to end up being a big machlokas, whether there is a kvias to shtiya, say if somebody's drinking wine, would that be a kvias on the wine, or do we say that wine is like anything else and is not taken as itself a kvias? It's only bottled to whatever food is being eaten with it. Okay, this is like a big machlokas halacha lamaisa as well, which the Mishnah Berurah brings that you could be machmer to make sure it could be yotzik l'kol hashitas, but it's definitely not clear that there's such a thing as a shtiat kva. So how much is achilas arai? Omer of Yosef, 2 or 3 beitzim. Now, obviously, 2 or 3 doesn't make sense because either it's 2 or 3. I mean, you can't say 2 or 3. So basically, the Achronim explain that this is dependent on the machlokas of what the shear of a pras is. So the achilas pras, which we're talking about over here, if you hold that a full meal is considered to be the 4 beitzim, so then it would be 2. If it would be 6 beitzim, then it would be 3. So, okay, so that's what he's saying. 2 or 3, depending on the shitas of the Gemara and everything. Omalei Abaye. Says Abaye, that doesn't make sense. I mean, very often, that's all that a guy needs to eat. And that makes him satisfied. And then that's going to be his meal. So how can you say he should eat that out of the sukkah? Elomar Abaye, kitatoyim bar be'rav v'ayel lekala. By the way, I should just mention to you that the mashma'ut is that Rashi did not have the girsa of beitza because he says morsel. A morsel is what you would put, he says, what you would put into your mouth. In French, a morsel. Okay, so, but lemaisa, the amount that a person puts into his mouth ends up being a kebeitza, as we learned back in Yuma. So anyway, it doesn't really make a difference halacha. But what Abaye says, it's the same as a barbe rav would put into his mouth and run into the shear. So over there, if he's afraid that it's going to be a long shear, so okay, so he grabs a bite, there's a cup of coffee with the cookie, you know. So it would be a mouthful, basically, which is one bait, so let's say. So turn it up on it. Ochlina chilata rai chutz l'sukkah. You can eat a snack outside of the sukkah, but ein yeshenim shenata rai chutz l'sukkah. But you can't take a brief nap outside of the sukkah. Why is that? That's because a brief nap can often turn into a long dremel. And so if you start off with a brief nap, who's to say you're not going to fall into a deep sleep and end up staying there? Gzeira shema yiradein. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, how do you say that? If you're afraid that a person is going to fall into a deep sleep, so then why does it say in the bright that you're allowed to take a nap wearing your tefillin, but you're not allowed to take a deeper sleep, a shenat keva? Why aren't we afraid shema yiradein? So, I mean, over there, the question is the shmira of your tefillin. The shmira of your tefillin is we're concerned that maybe you will lose control of your flatulence, and that's not nice for your tefillin. That's guf naki. So because of that, we're afraid that we ought to be afraid that you're going to end up being mezalzel in your tefillin. And how come we're more worried about the sukkah than we are about the tefillin? So that's a bit of a problem because, I mean, it's not comparable, right? If even if you would fall asleep with your tefillin on, I mean, there's nothing wrong per se with sleeping with your tefillin wrong on. We're just afraid that maybe you'll just pass some gas while you're wearing in your sleep. Maybe, I understand. By the sukkah, sleeping outside of sukkah, you're being over on the mitzvah of sukkah. Okay, so, I mean, apparently, you know, the Gemara just holds that it's not just a likely, it's a 90% for sure. So how do you explain the difference? Omer of Yosef Rabbi Eloi, what do you mean? It's very simple. You appoint somebody to wake you up. That's what it's talking about over there. And since someone will wake you to make sure you don't fall asleep, wearing your tefillin, so therefore you're allowed to. But otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to. It's the same thing as the sukkah. And how do you know that the guy who's watching you isn't going to fall asleep? Maybe he'll fall asleep. So now you need to appoint somebody else to make sure he doesn't fall asleep. But then you'll need another guy. So, we're talking about a case where you make yourself so uncomfortable that there's no way that you're going to fall asleep. So with your tefillin on, what you do is you let your head fall down onto your arms while you're sitting in your lap. That is so uncomfortable that you will not fall asleep into a deep sleep. Rava says it's nothing to do with a deep sleep. It's because sleep is deep. The idea of sleep is that there's no particular amount that's considered to be kfi'ut. So even sleep, whatever it is, a person sometimes could sleep for 5 minutes and feel that that's all that he needed. And now he's got that power nap, you know, maybe for him it was a 5 minute nap. So there's no such thing as calling a sleep a light sleep. Every sleep has a chashivas of a su'udas keva. Toni chora yashenada betfilin shenat araya avalo shenat keva. One brayta says you're allowed to sleep with your tefillin, but only with a light nap. Another brayta says you could sleep with your tefillin, even a deep sleep. And another brayta said you can't sleep at all, not even a light nap. So, I mean, are these three completely different shitot? Are they referring to different situations? Says the Gemara, of course, there's no machlokas over here, lokasha. Ha, denakit luhu biyadei. So this last bright over there is talking about, which you're not even allowed to fall into a light sleep. That's talking about where you're holding your tefillin in your hand, and therefore, as you well know, in the middle of shir, when people suddenly hear a Gemara drop to the floor, it wasn't because the Gemara dropped on the floor, it was because the guy fell asleep in the Daf Yomi. So if you're holding your tefillin in your hand, that crash was your tefillin. And therefore, you can't sleep at all. The other one, the first brayta, we're over there, it says you just can't fall asleep deeply. That's talking about where you're wearing your tefillin. And the one that says you can even go into a deep sleep is talking about where your tefillin are on you. They're next to you. You put a cloth over your tefillin. The poris sudra luya. And that you're keeping them in a way that is derech kavod, and then you're not mechuyev to take them and put them away in a closet and so on. Lo nitna tera l'malachei hasharis. You take off your tefillin, you put them down next to you, and you cover them in a way that they won't be in any way treated without kavod. So okay, it's interesting that over here it's mashbet. There's no nafkamina. If you're wearing a tefillin, there's no nafkamina of putting your head between your feet. So, according to the Rambam, this Gemara is not talking about like Rashi, you put it to the side. It means even if you're wearing it, you have to cover it with a cloth. Okay, but the Parshat Halach is like Rashi. Kamar Sheinat Arai. So, what do we call a nap? A nap, Tony Rami Bar Yecheskel, a nap is like the amount of time it takes to walk 100 amas or so. Okay, so therefore, that's not very long. 100 amas takes about a minute. And therefore, there's not really much time to sleep with your tefillin. Tanya Namiyachi, Ayarshin Bitfilin, Veroa Keri, somebody who did sleep with his tefillin, and he had a wet dream. So what's his problem? His problem is not that a Baal Keri is usher to wear tefillin. There's no such din. Even Takanas Ezra never had anything to do with wearing tefillin. It was only the Gabe Tefillah and so on, or Torah. But since Lamaisa, he is currently covered with semen, so it's not appropriate for him since he's currently dirty. So he's not appropriate for him to handle his tefillin. So what does he do? So he shouldn't hold the ketzitza of the tefillin. He should hold just the ritzua of the tefillin, even though normally we don't handle our tefillin with the ritzua, because it's not derech eretz. But over here, because he's not clean, it's more of a derech eretz to actually hold the tefillin with the ritzua in order to take it off. The Chachamim say, nobody's going to have a wet dream with this tefillin because he shouldn't have fallen asleep. Your shena dam tefillin only shena sarai, which is not standard to have a wet dream if he's just having a brief nap. Avolod shenat kva. And what is a shena sarai? Can you look me amas in 1 minute? It's unlikely it's ever going to happen to him. Omar Rav asur ladam lishon bayom. A person shouldn't go to sleep in the day because he's going to end up is being mevatel Torah any more than a horse would sleep. Yoter mi shenat asus, v'kama shenat asus. What is that? Shitin nishme. It's 60 inhalations and exhalations of the horse. As horses, they fall asleep, and then they get up again. Now, there's a big mach, by the way, there's a cute, I know they say it over from the grow, but I don't know. But there's a cute remez that's where the word sus comes from. Samach v'samach. Shishim in and shishim out. So that's a sus, kishena shasus. But anyways, the machlokas, whether this is 60 human breaths or this is 60 horse breaths. Okay, which leads to big machlokas. And I mean, 60 human breaths is not a very long time. It's like about 3 minutes or so, right? And is a very short time. So you're not allowed to sleep for more than the 3 minutes. So other places can talk about a half an hour because that's how long it would take a horse. And others even bring, Mr. Burr brings all the shittas in the Bir Halacha, that yesh omrim duhu sholosh shois. They bring a raya from the Arizal. The Arizal used to sleep 3 hours on Shabbos. How would he sleep 3 hours on Shabbos? Must be that you're allowed to sleep during the day for 3 hours. Anyway, whatever. It's very hard to understand how shisim Nime could possibly be 3 hours, but all right, those are the different shitas. Om Rabbi, Shinte Demar, I can tell you that my Rebbe's sleep was the same as the length of Rav's sleep, and he learned it from him because he was his Rebbe. Rav learned how long to sleep from his Rebbe, who was Rebbe, and he grew up with Rebbe. And Rebbe, he used to sleep as long as David HaMelech, because he came from David HaMelech, he had a Kabbalah, how long David HaMelech slept. And David slept, like we saw with the adults, so again, brachas, get a susya. And the susya is shisinime. Abaya used to go to sleep for as long as it took to get from Pumpadisa to Bekuvi. Now, I mean, Rashi says a very strange thing that I don't know that anybody knows where Rashi says that this is, that it says that this was Shesh Parsos, but I don't know whether anybody's ever traced where it says that. But if it's Shesh Parsos, then that's crazy, because we paskin that a meal is Yud Chet Minutin, it's 15 minutes for a meal. A parsa is for a meal, and that would mean that we're talking about like 7 hours? A bai would sleep 7 hours in a day? I mean, that's not bad. I like that shita very much. So anyway, but again, I don't know what to do with that Rashi. So Rav Yosef once caught Abaya sleeping like that, and he said to him, Ad matai atzel tishkav, matai takum mishnotecha, lazy bones. How long will you sleep in that bed? When will you finally get up from your sleep? I guess it was the last time he went to sleep anywhere around Rav Yosef. Tan Rabbana, hanichnas lishon bayom, somebody who's going into sleep, and he's going into his bedroom, all he wants to do is take a nap. He doesn't want to do anything else. So he's wearing his tefillin. So Ratsa, if he wants, he could take them off. If he wants, he can leave them on. Because since during the day, it's unlikely that he's going to start playing around with his wife, and we're unlikely that he's going to end up sleeping for a long time. So then he can leave them on. But at night, then he has to take off his tefillin and not leave them on. So tan is Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Yossi says, look, young people should always take off their tefillin, even if it's during the day. Mipnei shirigilin bituma, because they are more likely to have issues with sexual things during the day even. So because of that, so at this point, Rashi explains the Gemara is holding that since people, youngsters, are usually thinking about sex, so they'll probably have more likely that they'll have a wet dream. So therefore, they shouldn't go to sleep at all. They should always take off their tefillin. So wait a minute. So Lema Kasova Rabbi Yossi Balkeri Osir Laniach Tefillin? I mean, what does that mean? He's worried about him having a wet dream, so he holds that Ezra Asert wearing tefillin for a Balkeri. Now, this is a little bit of a problem, because obviously we said before that if we're talking about over here that he'll actually have a wet dream, that has a completely different din than not wearing tefillin because you're a Balkeri. That we said before, that's a din of being unclean until you wash yourself off, and therefore it's a whole different halacha. So, I mean, you're going to have to say, apparently, and this is the way some of the Rishonim explain it, but it's like a little bit loose. You'll have to say that since Rabbi Yossi was so machmir that you're not allowed to wear tefillin at all, even though it's only a chashash, I mean, what is the chance that the guy is actually going to be Raya Keri? So it must be that he holds that there's a chumrah for tefillin even for a Balkeri. Okay. I don't know, but I mean, you got to say something like that, because otherwise it's a very strange leap to go from saying that there was a Takonas Ezra on tefillin just because he says not to wear your tefillin when you're sleeping. Abaye says we're not talking about wet dreams. We're talking about kids that are with their wives, we're talking about. So the likelihood is that they will end up, they'll forget to take off their tefillin, and they'll end up to engage in intimate relations. So Shemayavoli de Hergel Davar had nothing to do with being a Balkeri. Turn her up on it. Shachach v'shimesh midato b'tefillin. What if you actually, this happened, and you ended up sleeping with your wife with your tefillin on? So there too, as we said, Eino Ochez lo beretzuah. Over here, you got a bigger problem, because over here, your hands themselves are not clean. And therefore, you should not take the tefillin off, even with the ritzuah. Don't touch your tefillin. Achi yito yadav, you'd have to first wash your hands, then take off the tefillin. Because you never know what hands touch. And because of that, it would be inappropriate to be wearing tefillin with hands that touch soiled places on the body. Okay, we're ready for our Sir Richard, if he's ready for us. Nice. Ma'aseh ve'heviyu lo l'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai litomet ha'tafshil. They once brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a little bit of kugel to taste before Shabbos. Is a good kugel. It was during circus. And they brought once to Rebbe Gamliel two kotavot and a pail of water, and both of them refused to eat it, even to taste the kugel outside of the sukkah. And they said, take it up to the sukkah. We're not going to eat it outside of the sukkah. Now, this is very weird, because we just said before you're allowed to eat achilas arayich chutz l'sukkah, and then you turn around and you say, yes, indeed, and in fact, there was such a maisa. And he refused to even taste the kugel out of the sukkah. I don't understand. Ukeshenot nulo, and when they gave to Reb Tzadok a piece of food that was less than one beitza, so first of all, he took it with, this is talking about bread, so he took it with a cloth. He didn't wash his hands. So he didn't do netilat yadayim, which you're not allowed to eat bread with a cloth unless a certain matzavim, but here he could have washed his hands. He didn't. He took it with a cloth. He ate it outside of the sukkah, despite the fact that it was bread. And he didn't say birkas hamazon after eating the bread. Okay. So, I mean, this is like the opposite extreme. Says the Gemara, well, I understand. You said in the beginning of the Mishnah, on Chaf Hei, you said that it's okay to eat a snack outside of the sukkah. And then you say, even to taste the kugel, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't taste the kugel outside of the sukkah. Make up your mind. Were you bringing a raya against yourself? This is the way the Mishnah works? No. Obviously, chesurim echasav hachikatani. There's a piece that's missing over here. The Mishnah should add, im balach mira latzmo, if somebody wants to be more machmir, and he wants to refuse to have anything at all outside of the sukkah, that is fine. Sometimes it's not fine, because sometimes it's considered to be one-upmanship. So for somebody to say, I don't eat food outside of the sukkah, even to taste the kugel, is like classic frumi talk, right? And frumi talk is usher because it's considered to be derech yuara. So therefore, you might have thought that it would be usher not to eat it outside of the sukkah. Therefore, kamash malan, that this type of thing in sukkahs, that people enjoy being in the sukkah, it's not looked as one-upmanship. It's looked at as having fun in the sukkah. So therefore, he can be machmir, and there's no isser being machmir. That is what this maisa is coming to illustrate, not the beginning. So it's therefore maisa nami, that Eviel al Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh Litomet HaTafshil, and Rabbi Gamliel Shneiko Tavot Vedli Shalmayim. Now, obviously, this Shneiko Tavot, it would be the bit of the question which we had back in Yuma, whether Shneiko Tavot without the pits are considered to be Bechlal a snack, or is that considered to be actually a kvias? Because that's a lot, right? But from here, as we're going to see, this is Rava Shita, is that fruit never have a kvias. It doesn't matter how much fruit you eat. They're not considered to be kavua. So that would be basically dependent on that machlokas. Most poskim like Rava, that it wouldn't matter how much fruit. And the only time that we were talking about in Yonim of the Kezias, the Kebetza that we were talking about before, that was talking about the Chamisha Mine Doga. But the Shivas Haminim even, you can eat outside of the sukkah. You could eat a steak, for that matter, as long as it's not made out of something that's mechayvim the mizoynus. Okay, again, there's a lot of different shitas in this, and miikra then most halachas, most paskin, that it's only a question of pat or mizoynus, and the Mishnah Berurah brings that, you know, it's nice that to be koveya suda on something. And that way, you know that you're being yotzil koladeis. Now, it's a little bit of a problem, which we'll talk about, Bezrat Hashem, because that Mishnah Berurah is bringing the halacha l'gabi making a bruch. And in that, he seiser himself very definitely, in which he paskins elsewhere, that you would make a bracha even on yeshivas asukah, like the Gro brings. And the truth is, this is one of those locations where there are parts in this Mishnah Berurah that were written by the Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law and were not written by him directly. So oftentimes when you find that type of steer, you're talking about two different people's Piskei Halachas. This is a little bit of a problem, that Mishnah Berurah, where he says, Bikoveya asoda, that's b'chayev you a bracha. That's where everybody gets the idea that they don't make a leishev basukah when they come into the sukkah. And that they're only going to make a leishev basukah if they eat something which is a kvias in the sukkah. That's based on that Mishnah Berurah, and it does not seem to be true lahalacha. Okay, but again, we'll talk about the brachas when we go on further about the chiyav of eating in the sukkah. Anyway, so what we're talking about over here is an illustration of a maisa that someone was machmir. So they said, no, bring it up to the sukkah. And when they gave Rabbi Tzadok ochel that was pochas b'kebetza, not lo b'mapa, och lo chutz l'sukkah v'lo b'erech acharav. So gufa, the mefarshim, I shouldn't say the mefarshim, it's a mamashim of the rishonim. The Ran actually speaks out. So like, if we're coming to illustrate the din that it's not considered to be one-upmanship to insist that you eat it in the sukkah, what was the point of bringing the story with Rabbi Tzadok? We're over there, Badafka, he's not machmer. I mean, so then why do I need to illustrate not to be machmer? So the Ran says, Gufa, that's the point. that because of the fact that we found Rabbi Yochanan being machmir, don't think that that means you're supposed to be machmir. It only means you can be machmir. Because Reb Tzadik was a big tzadik, believe me, and he wasn't machmir, no. You have to be more of a tzadik than Reb Tzadik. They didn't call him Reb Tzadik for nothing. Anyway, so because of that, the Gemara here is concerned with the fact that nonetheless it's mashma, that Reb Tzadik would have eaten it if it were one kibetza. But so then that would be a tiyufta of Rav Yosef and Abaye, because, I mean, they said that even a kibetza is considered to be a snack. They said whatever, you know, that morsel that you put into your mouth, filling up your mouth one time. And that would not be chayiv in a sukkah. And here it's mashma Reb Tzadik. He would have taken it up to the sukkah. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Remember that there were other things that we spoke about. We spoke about the need for netilas yadayim. We spoke about birchas hamazon. So maybe the difference between the pochus mikabetza over here was only vis-a-vis dilma pochus mikabetza would require netilat yadayim. I mean, unless a kabetza would not require the bracha birchas hamazon netilas yadayim, but a kabetza would. Hakabetza by netilu vracha, but it doesn't necessarily prove that a kabetza requires the sukkah. Now, there's a little bit of a question of why it was, if you did not hold that you needed netilas yadayim, why was it that he put everything into the handkerchief? Why was it not lo b'mapa? This is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns he held it in a handkerchief because of nikiyut, just that it's you don't touch food with your hands. But Tosfos says no, because Reb Tzadik was a Kohen, and he was Urchel Altairus Truma. It says Beferish and Becheres, and he was Urchel Altairus Truma. And since Stam Yadayim Ashniot, they would pass the Truma because of Yud Ches Dover. And therefore, he had to take it with a mapa. Okay, beautiful. All right, everybody, that was fun, although I must admit I had been hoping to get to our Negoyim, but I felt that beautiful idea of the contrast between the normal idea of the Oisik b'mitzvah, Potter ben ha-mitzvah, and the idea of Teshvu gain Teduro was so valuable to see and to appreciate that it was kedai to take the extra time for that. I'm very, very happy with being able to be omid on what the Gemara was doing here. Okay, have a wonderful day. Thank you so, so much for being mezakeh me to be with you and learn with you, and the joy that it gives me to get me through a day. Kol tov, everyone. Deeply appreciated.